The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It is time for another Dark Side of the Pooch. It airs at 7 o'clock every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. First run shows right here on the TKR app. Thanks to tens of thousands of folks. Over 100,000 people now got the TKR app, which we greatly appreciate. Of course, you can also watch and hear all of our stuff on our podcast, the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. They just redid the streets. They're redoing that whole area. It's been around for almost 50 years. Seth is a wonderful man down there. He's got all kinds of exotic pets, everything from caiman alligators, tarantulas, all kinds of great fish, rabbits, chinchillas. They've got cockatoos down there, all kinds of birds, you name it, they got it. And of course, he's also got Seth's Toy Closet, which is basically half the store now, man. They got all kinds of great toys down there. Unboxed, everything from watches to Star Wars stuff, classic stuff. You got something in the attic, bring it down. They'll buy, sell, and trade. It's Ed's Pet World. Dr. Rab Stewart, how are you, brother, at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? What is going on, man?
I'm battling a little cold, man. I'm just, I don't have COVID. I don't have the flu. I just, you know, I got a little sore throat and we're getting through it, man. But I don't know. Maybe I got kennel cough.
What is kennel cough?
Well, kennel cough is a word that we, as a, I guess, as pet parents, we have turned it into a catch-all phrase for anything that causes a cough in dogs. Yeah. Not anything that anything infectious or contagious that causes a cough. So anytime a dog has a cough, people come in and say, "Oh, my dog has kennel cough."
Oh.
Well, kennel cough is technically only caused by one thing, and it's Bordetella, and that's a bacteria, and for some reason, you know, people say kennel cough or any type cough, but unless it's Bordetella, it's not technically kennel cough. Influenza can cause a cough. Mycoplasma, which is another bacteria, can cause a cough. Distemper can cause a cough. That's a virus. So, you know, there's a bunch of things, just like in us, you know, every time we cough, we don't have one particular thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I would equate it to this, you know, when a person has, you know, what they would quote unquote consider a cold, you know, that's what people say. Oh, my dog has kennel cough.
Yeah.
You know, like a cold, like, what does that even mean? Like that's nothing. Like,
yeah.
A cold is, I mean, I'm sure that was some phrase that was, you know, coined in, you know, the 1200s and some European, you know, whatever. You know,
now growing up, I always heard the myth that if a dog catches a cold, it would probably kill it. Is that true? Is that false? Do dogs and cats get colds?
Well, I mean, I think that it's like all those things I just listed, I think would be considered a cold.
Okay.
You know, so right. No, but you know, because a cold is just, I mean, I have something right now, whether it's a bacteria or a virus, I have something. What I don't have is the cold or a cold. Cause what does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything.
I don't know. He is Dr. Rab Stewart at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And of course you can also call them anytime. 208-0301, 208-0301, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. We have tons of emails, great emails today. info@tonycurryradio.net. We're going to talk about 80% of all dogs and cats have this disease and we don't even know it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, well, I know.
Okay,
I don't know if it's on the list.
Okay, we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. And also, there is in South Carolina a rabid animal, and I've never heard of this animal ever being rabid, and it's affecting pets and humans alike. We'll talk about that story. But first, 46% of all pet owners are trying to find a way to cut cost in taking care of their pooches. Now, most people would just stop buying treats, maybe some of the luxuries of a particular animal. And you and I talked before we actually did this podcast and the show here on Tony Curry Radio and the Tony Curry Radio podcast. But I want you to help people out there so they don't have to give up their pets. And I realize inflation, recession, everything is really hurting everybody from the top to the bottom. But what are some serious ways that pet owners can actually cut corners and not cut the care of their dogs and cats? Do you have some?
The thing that you could, that would do the most good probably is to start with dog food.
Yeah.
Dog food is expensive And dog food companies are really good marketers. And there's a lot of dog food out there that comes in nice fancy bags. And, you know, just to be quite honest with you, it is not really that much different between the traditional brands that we say are not good. You know, things like, you know, Alpo and Old Roy, you know, those are the names that everybody, you know, points and laughs at. But, you know, in some ways they're not any worse than some of these higher end boutique dog foods. So, you know, that's an everyday item that you know, people can change and save a good bit of money.
So what is the biggest difference between a higher priced? I mean, first of all, what are we looking for on the ingredients? I know a lot of people that they don't want the first ingredient to be some type of filler, whether it's the soy thing. I know some people that won't buy dog food unless it says chicken or beef first. What are we looking for? And dogs will eat anything. They'll eat their own poop, for God's sake. So it's not like they're not going to want to eat this food. But what is it we're looking for in our ingredients to make sure we're getting the right food?
The main thing that you're looking for on these dog foods is that it has been not inspected, that's not the right word, but approved by the AAFCO, okay. AFCO.
Okay.
And, you know, that is an independent group that looks at the food and determines, is it safe and is it healthy for all stages of life? And if it has that AFCO stamp on there, it is a perfectly good food.
Okay.
If it doesn't have the AFCO stamp on there, then I would stay away from it. And I don't care if, you know, it costs $200 a bag and some celebrity is endorsing it or whatever it is. There is no way that
what is AFCO? What is that?
Well, it's an acronym for, and honestly, I don't even remember what it all stands for, but it's an acronym of a group that does independent research on the food to be sure that it has the ingredients needed for all pets, for all stages of growth, and it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be surprised at some of these foods that don't have that seal of approval.
Wow. So how do they get that seal of approval, or does every dog food have to go through that approval?
No.
I would think that then how does it actually get on the store shelves?
Well, because it's not regulated.
Gotcha.
You know, it's not, it's just like, you know, a lot of nutraceuticals, whether they be, you know, for pets or for people,
mm-hmm.
they don't go through the same type of, you know, under the microscope, detail that, pharmaceuticals have to. I mean, I'm not going to say they're unregulated, but they don't really have to meet the requirements of the FDA.
Yeah. We're saying, go ahead.
And food is no different. I mean, you can make dog food, and just because you don't have, you know, a group that is being sure that it's a good food, you can still put that on the shelves. There's no government agency that is going to say, well, this can't be on the shelves.
And is there something in that food that's not on our table scraps? Because, I mean, sometimes you'd figure if you're making a roast and you've got a little extra and you don't want to, because we throw away a lot of food, if we just give it to the dog, is that okay or no?
It's not bad to do.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because, you know, we're getting into, you know, one of the points that I was going to make is when you're, you know, when you're trying to cut cost on your pets, you know, the one cost you don't want to cut is when they need medical help, medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things you can do to try to keep them from needing medical attention. So it's, in a lot of ways, it's just routine maintenance, just like you would a car.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it costs money to go get the oil changed. It costs money to put gas in it. It costs money to get new tires on and get your tires rotated. But if you don't do those things, you know, then you're going to have an even greater expense. So it's like, well, you know, I'm my dog's got a little, you know, it's got some red skin or it's got something going on. I'm just going to try to treat it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you try to treat it at home for a couple of weeks, by the time you do get into the vet, it's turned into a terrible infection, and that's going to cost even more money to get rid of. Also, like, if you want to, you know, a lot of people do want to, you know, quote unquote, pamper their dogs and give them some steak or give them, you know, some table scraps, or feed them, you know, a crap load of treats or whatever. But when you do that, you run the risk of causing some GI upset, and that's a visit to your vet, you know? So, there's nothing wrong with feeding them table scraps, but there's a pretty decent risk that it's going to upset their stomach. So if you're trying to stay away from the vet, the best things that you can do is, you know, find a good dog food and feed it that and that only. No table scraps, limit the amount of treats that you give. That's going to keep their, you know, their GI tract healthy, keep them on their monthly prevention so they don't get fleas and ticks, they don't get heartworms and intestinal parasites. But again, that's a cost. But it's a lot cheaper to give them prevention than it is to go in and have tests run and then get treated for whatever problem that they have because they weren't on the preventatives. So it's routine maintenance.
There is no doubt. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. They're all over that stuff. 208-0301, area code 205, and of course out there the Rossbridge area. So a lot of people are into this, and every time I go to look for stories when we do Dark Side of Pooch, it runs at 7 o'clock every Monday through Friday, I see pet insurance. That seems to be really, really hot right now. What exactly does pet insurance cover? Is there a preventative type of insurance that covers everything, including flea and tick and heartworm kind of stuff? Is that, I think some people feel like they can get some type of umbrella policy where they're spending $200 or $300 a month, but everything's covered, or is it just for surgeries and things that normally wouldn't happen to your pet?
You can get policies for all that stuff.
Okay.
You can get policies that just cover emergency stuff. You can get policies that cover routine wellness stuff.
Do you suggest it?
It is. I mean, it's not a bad idea, yeah. For sure.
They have to pay, right? When they see you, they have to pay, and then they get reimbursed. You don't cover the insurance, correct?
That's right. Yeah. And there's a deductible that needs to be met, just like in, you know, any other insurance that we would have.
Yeah.
So, you come in and you get a copy of your invoice and you send that to your insurance provider. That goes towards your deductible every year. And then the insurance company reimburses the pet owner rather than, you know, paying us.
There you go. Get a load of this. info@tonycurryradio.net. We've got a couple of thousand people that listen to the show in Sweden all of a sudden. So we want to give a big old hey-ho to Sweden. We're an international radio station. And Kim in Sweden has heard that 80% of all dogs and cats over 3 have this. Do you know what it is?
Well, my guess would be, I don't think this is going to be what she says, but mange. All dog, like tons of dogs have mange, but you'd never know it.
She has heard it's gum disease.
For sure.
So that's not a good thing. I know when humans have gum disease, that is seriously wrong. And that's another thing that you see a lot of. And again, you know, do your research and listen to Dark Side of the Pooch, because we're going to tell you the real poop on everything. A lot of people are now getting their dog's teeth brushed weekly, whereas I know that I had 14 dogs growing up, and we obviously never had our dog's teeth brushed. How important is that? And if they have gum disease, what kind of pain can that cause? Is that something we need to start looking into?
So anyone can figure out if their dog needs dental attention. It's really easy, but most pet owners don't do it, and I don't blame them. But you just lift the gum, lift the lip of your dog, lift mm-hmm. the lip, and look at the gum line. If the gum line is the same color pink as the rest of the gums, then you know, you're probably in good shape. But if the gum line is a darker pink or red, then that means that they have gingivitis, basically. They have gum disease.
What about brown? What about brown? Brown or black?
So the brown staining, the brown stuff on the teeth, that's tartar and calculus.
Okay.
And you can have that on the teeth without having gum disease. But the more tartar buildup you have, the more likely that you will have gum disease. But I've seen dogs that have a fair bit of tartar on their teeth that don't have irritated gum lines. And the irritated gum line is the more important thing that you need to look for. Because, you know, the tartar in the calculus is not ideal.
Yeah.
But when you have inflammation to the gum line secondary to that, that's when you know, you're going to have an issue. And that's going to lead to periodontal disease, which means disease of the structures around the tooth. So we're talking like bone disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then so once periodontal disease sets in, there's not a lot you can do to reverse that. But if you clean your dog's teeth on a regular basis when it needs to be done, then you'll avoid periodontal disease. You'll avoid having to have teeth pulled, and you'll, avoid your pet having pain associated with eating, or just, sitting around.
Dude, because eventually the gums are going to get irritated. Have you ever pulled a tooth?
Oh yeah. We pull teeth every week. Yeah.
Really? So I was always under the impression that as long as your dog was eating dry food, it would kind of polish the teeth as you go along, or there's these dental bones. You can get bones that kind of clean the teeth. Does that not work at all?
It doesn't. Now, I think that there's something to be said for dogs that eat canned food, food with a lot of moisture. Mm-hmm. I think that food probably does predispose them to having more dental disease. But just because they eat dry food or they chew on bones or eat dental treats, it doesn't mean that they're not going to have dental problems or need to have dental cleanings. Because if you think about how, how we take care of our teeth, it's really not that much different with dogs. So, if we just ate hard food, just think about this. If we didn't brush our teeth and we just ate hard food all the time, our teeth would be terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
So, think of all the stuff that we do. So let me back up for 1 second. So here, the reason that I think is so hard for pet owners to wrap their heads around having their pet's teeth cleaned is because when we clean a dog or cat's teeth, they have to be put under anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Because when what we are doing when we're cleaning their teeth is the exact same thing that our dentist would do for our teeth. Yeah. We're scaling them, we're polishing them. And it's hard enough for us to sit still, when that's done. And pets will not allow that to be done if they're awake.
No.
So when I explain that to an owner, anytime the procedure, it varies a lot, people have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. Well, I don't get sedated to have my teeth clean, so why should I do that for my dog? And it's because they just won't tolerate it.
Because you don't bite your dentist.
Right, exactly. That's why.
So I think. Do you do fillings not crowns, but I do fillings. Do you do root canals and stuff too? Really?
Yeah. Oh. Now, I don't. That's not something that most general people will do.
Yeah.
And so veterinary dentistry is probably very similar to what dentistry was in the 1700s and 1800s. Yeah. If you have a bad tooth and you're a dog or a cat, it's going to get pulled out.
Yeah.
Now, there are orofacial surgeons who are also dentists. I have a really good friend who that's all he does up in Kentucky. He is an orofacial surgeon and dentist, and he has done root canals on dogs and cats. He has saved, he saved teeth because people, they don't, whatever level of pet care you want to have, I promise you it is out there and it exists. So there are some people that they do not want that cosmetic look of missing teeth. They just don't, just like there are people out there who the last thing on earth they're going to let you do is pull their teeth. And there are some people out there that say, I don't care. Like I'm not going to pay all this money. Just yank the thing out.
Yeah.
But there are people that will have root canals done on their pets. And there, I just saw the other, it's been a while back, but I say the other day, but it wasn't that recent. But I saw a journal where there was a tiger that they put under anesthesia, and they put a gold tooth in that tiger.
I did see that.
Because you saw that.
He's a hip hop tiger.
Yeah. the level of care is there. But for a general person like me, we're going to pull it.
Yeah.
Going to pull it.
All right. Tootsie in Birmingham, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Tootsie in Birmingham, what's the most amazing thing Dr. Reb has ever seen a dog do?
Probably consume like a whole chocolate cake in like 10 seconds.
That's not a good thing, though.
It's not a good thing. Oh, I saw something earlier today. This is amazing. A dog just broke the world record for the longest frisbee catch.
Really?
Is 108 yards.
Wow.
So that's pretty amazing.
I mean, to throw a frisbee 108 yards would be difficult, but to have a dog catch it, that's incredible.
I mean, this dog, it's one of these special frisbees. I don't know if it was a frisbee golf frisbee, but it looked really, it wasn't flimsy. I mean, this thing, it had some weight to it, and it was on a football field. And this guy chucked this frisbee, and it was a the video was, it wasn't super close up, and you couldn't see I couldn't make out the exact breed of the dog, but it was one of these herding breeds,
Yeah.
And I mean, that dog was like lightning flying down the field. It was amazing. So that's fresh in my mind. So I'm going to go with that. The 108 yard frisbee catch in the air.
He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. And of course, you can listen to our show 7 o'clock Central Time every Monday through Friday. And wherever you get your podcast, search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. It's Curry with a K. And you can listen to, I think we're up to like 50 episodes. So we are killing it here. And every episode is fantastic. South Carolina, I don't know if you saw the story, 12 animals and one person were exposed to a rabid what?
I did not see this.
A rabid goat. I have never heard of a rabid goat before. And I know you talk about possums, and you talked about, I think, ferrets. You talk about raccoons. Can anything be rabid?
No, there are some things that just don't get rabies. And
never heard of a goat?
I'm not surprised that a goat has rabies. I've never heard of a rabid goat. But small rodents like squirrels and chipmunks, they do not get rabies.
Yeah.
So there are some, and I'm sure there are way more species that don't get rabies than I know of. That's one that I do know of. I've never heard of a goat getting rabies, but I mean, I would imagine there are tons of animals out there that can get rabies that just don't.
So just because you're an animal and you get bitten by a rabid animal doesn't mean you get rabies, correct?
Well, I mean, I think the majority of animals would get it. I think the majority of animals.
But can
would
they
get
pass it
it
along? Because if a goat gets bitten by a raccoon, would that animal automatically, I mean, get rabies, but then can it pass it along?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, so then. I mean, the way that you pass it is, the virus lives in the salivary glands. So that's why a bite transmits the virus, because the virus is in your saliva.
Yeah.
And so anything, you get a bite that breaks the skin, and then you're well on your way to getting it. But if the bite doesn't break the skin, and the saliva doesn't get, implanted into your body, then you're not going to get rabies.
All right, there you have it. Peggy in Fultondale wants to know, are there any places to bring your pets to have photos with Santa? You should do that.
I don't know.
You should do that at Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Kill it, dude.
Will you come and be Santa?
You know what? Don't laugh, my friend, because I thought about that. I would be more than happy. I'm telling you right now, I'd be more than happy, because I've actually looked into a couple places to become a Santa this year. But because they're looking for a guy with a big nose and a deep voice. I could play a good Santa. But I'm telling you, man.
I can promise you, there has been a place out there that has done this before.
If I sat at your store like on Friday afternoons and Saturdays, and you just asked people coming in for an extra $25, we'll do a photo with Santa. You know how many people would do that?
Well, if they knew it was Tony Curry, the whole town would do it.
All right, let's talk about it after the show. I can make some extra cash, and you'd make some extra cash too. That would be awesome. That'd be great. Peggy, great question there. Finally, and I saw the story, and I had to be kind of careful because I can't find any other information on it, and I wanted to make sure that I don't throw out a name of this, so I'm not going to mention Seresto. But newly obtained EPA documents reveal that Seresto flea collars have been linked to 100,000 sicknesses in dogs, including 2,700 deaths, and 894 humans have gotten sick from this. I don't know how many people actually use flea collars anymore, because obviously you can ingest some type of medication like Bravecto or something like that, which is what my dogs use, and it works just fine. Can you give us some scoop on this? And have you heard about this? And why isn't this something that's being recalled?
I have heard about this. This has been kind of floating out there. I'm not sure for how long, but it's been out there. I want to say it's been several months at least, and it's not a product that we carry.
Yeah.
And the reason that we don't carry it is because it is something that you can get OTC, And it doesn't make sense for us to carry it. If you can, you know, get it online or if you can get it at pet stores, you know, it's just not something that we have. So I don't have a whole lot of experience with it. I do know that it's an eight month collar that is it's labeled to prevent fleas and ticks. And the way it works is the friction of the dog distributes the medication, for lack of a better word, or the product. It, as the dog moves around, the friction distributes that from the collar to the body.
Okay.
And the thing that I would say that just from a usability and functionality standpoint, the thing that I don't like about it is if the collar is removed or the pet gets wet, there's a break in prevention. So there has to be a certain period of time where the dog is dry and the collar is put back on before it is effective against fleas and ticks again. So another reason that I don't like it. But very recently, like in the last few weeks, the company that makes this collar, which is, at the moment it escapes me, I want to say it's Bear, but I probably shouldn't say that because it's probably not Bear. And I'm just, you know, it's not Bear.
Yeah.
I don't know who makes it. Okay. I don't know who makes it, but they sent out a letter to us that, I mean, basically really they dug their heels in. And they said that, you know, the studies that they've used are faulty and we stand behind our product and, you know, we're not going to interrupt the production of the Seresto collar.
By the way, Elanco makes Seresto collars.
Okay. Elanco. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, they're digging their heels in and doubling down. I read it just because I felt like I needed to be, you know, somewhat knowledgeable about the situation, but it's not a product we carry. So, you know, I've never seen the only real world experience I have with Seresto collar is I have a family member that lives out of town that uses it. He's never had any problems with it, and his dog has had. I mean, his dog has used it for literally its whole life.
Huh. Okay, there you have it. One final question: info@tonycurryradio.net. Carol in Birmingham wants to know what's one band, dead or alive, that Dr. Rab would like to see.
I think probably Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I think probably Zeppelin would be number one. And then, you know, the Beatles will be up there.
Black Jacket Symphony is doing Queen in November, by the way.
Yeah, that would be really good to see Freddie Mercury. And then probably, you know, Grateful Dead with Jerry.
Yeah.
That would be my three. I guess if I had to pick one, I would say Zeppelin, just because I think the power that band had live would just, I mean, it just blow your hair back.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I saw the Grateful Dead. They played back-to-back shows here in the late 80s, early 90s, right before Jerry passed away, and it was the strangest show I've ever seen. it was, man, people were just like huddled over in balls on the ground, on the floor, and it was just, I mean, it was bizarre. It was great. I'm glad I went. And I think I was probably one of those people that was balled up by the end of the show, but it was just absolutely bizarre.
Great. Well, I would just say, like, from a cultural standpoint, you know, that's why, because they were so iconic, you know? And I think that by the end of that, you know, of that band, I think there were a lot of weird things going on and that didn't really have anything to do with the music. People were just there to.
No, they played this song called Space. I think it's called Space. And it's just, and it goes on for like a half an hour, 45 minutes. And it's just a spotlight that just kind of goes. And it's just, dude, people were just like, I mean, even people that were sober were mesmerized by it. It was bizarre. I'm glad I went. And A Touch of Grey, of course, their biggest song had just come out. And so I was kind of there to listen to that and Casey Jones and trucking and stuff like that. But I didn't know a lot of the stuff, but it was kind of weird. All right. Tell people how they can find you at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, or you can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. And, of course, every week, Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Nearly 50 years in the business down there in Homewood. You know Ed's for all. I mean, kids love going to that place. They're going to be jamming for Christmas time, going down there to get exotic pets, chinchillas and rabbits, and they got mice and I got everything down there. It's crazy. And, of course, perfect for Christmas, too. Seth's Toy Closet, if you're looking for that hard-to-find toy, unopened, still in the box from 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever. They've got a ton of stuff down. He's actually got a special room just for the toys now. So check out Toy's Toy Closet, or Seth's Toy Closet. It's unbelievable. Ed's Pet World. Great show, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Talk to you then, bud.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.